advisory services offered through Wealth Enhancement Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Certain but not all investment advisor representatives of Wealth Enhancement Advisory Services are also registered representatives of and offer securities through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Wealth Enhancement Group and Wealth Enhancement Advisory Services are separate entities from LPL. Wealth Enhancement Group is a registered trademark of Wealth Enhancement Group, LLC.
Financial strategies that make sense for everyone. Here's your chance to ask any and all questions pertaining to your money. Brought to you by Wealth Enhancement Group, enhancing wealth and enriching life, because it's your money.
If you have a financial question for Bruce and Peg, you can call this number 24/7, 888-6-ADVICE. You can certainly email your question to yourmoney@wealthenhancement.com. And now with more of your money, here's Senior Vice President, Financial Advisor Peg Webb, along with the founder of Wealth Enhancement Group, Financial Advisor Bruce Helmer.
Thank you, Denny Long. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Hey, before we get into today's topic, I just want to quickly mention we're in the home stretch of our fall seminar series, just a couple locations, couple dates left. But again, if you can hear my voice right now, maybe we haven't been out to see you yet. So the fall seminar is called Four Easy Steps Toward a Lifetime of Retirement Income. And it's been very well received. We've been a lot of places already, just a couple more. But if you want to find out more, you can go to wealthenhancement.com/events. There's no cost for the seminar. It's free. There's no obligation to do anything, to buy anything. There's no sales pitch. There's no pressure. It's just education. It's informative. Hopefully you have fun. And in addition, we give you a meal. So we want to know if you're coming. We want you to pre-register if possible to make sure we have a chair and make sure we have enough food. So to find out where we're still going before before we're done here in the fall, to find out if we're still coming to you and to find out more about the seminar, and if you're interested and if we're still headed your way, go to wealthenhancement.com/events, wealthenhancement, all one word, .com/events. You can find out everything you need to know, where we're going to be, when we're going to be there, what we're going to talk about, and if you're interested, you can get registered for the seminar. The topic today, Peg, is last week we talked about things that can happen. We talked about five things that can happen that you should be saving money for. This week, we're going to talk about five must-have money conversations. For many couples, whether they're married or whether they're significant others or cohabitating or whatever their relationship is, many couples, discussing finances can be uncomfortable. They avoid the topic, but it's a necessary part of achieving financial success together. It's a necessary part of having a successful relationship. We know that a lot of relationships that end, at least in part, on disagreements about money and financial stuff. So communication is really a big deal to your success, both personally and professionally. So today we're going to talk about five things that you really ought to be talking about with your significant other or your married partner or whatever the case may be.
I think, Bruce, as you talk about all the time, is your core values, like what's important to you. So independently, I think most of us probably know what's important to us, but have we actually communicated that to each other? Sometimes, and I really believe, Bruce, that these core values, you know, what's ingrained inside of you, is something that has been developed since you were 2 feet tall. And I feel like a lot of the inspiration or the way that your makeup is today, you know, was learned from either your parents or a teacher. Or so having this discussion about what's important to you, when we meet new people, Bruce, that's one of the first things we say, what's important to you about money? And independently, if there's two people sitting in front of me, Bruce, I look at one person first and ask them to answer, and then I look at the other person and ask them to answer, because they kind of look at each other in the beginning thinking that they're going to match. But a lot of times, the core values of each person when it comes to money aren't necessarily the same.
You know, as we say a lot on this show, you and I come in here as sort of a basic outline, But we never know exactly what the other one's going to say. And I love what you just said. And I didn't know you were going to talk about core values. And I think that's appropriate. And I'm glad you did. And I'm glad you started down that road. So this communication, so you're with this partner, do you have the same core values? And it's not necessary that you have exactly the same core values, but I think it is necessary that you understand what one another's core values are. You might know your own, but if your partner doesn't know those, that could lead to a problem. You have to communicate that. And the other tricky thing here, I think, is, you know, we are who we are and personalities are our personalities. And having a difficult conversation, by very definition, it's a difficult conversation. So it's hard for everybody. But for some people, it's a lot easier than others. There are extroverts that live outside themselves, that communicate really easily and communicate everything.
I love how you put that. They live outside themselves.
And then there's people like me that are introverts that keep everything in my head and process in my head. And oftentimes I think I told somebody something and I really didn't. I just thought about it and never had the conversation. I'm like, are you sure I didn't tell you that? I'm pretty sure I did. But I probably didn't, because I live inside myself. I'm an introvert. So understanding that about your personality and kind of forcing yourself out of your comfort zone and saying it's really important to have this conversation, you got to be able to do that.
So let's go back a little bit, and I'll give this example, Bruce. When my kids were small, my husband grew up in a row home on the East Coast with 60 families on one street. I grew up on a turkey farm in Minnesota. And I had to bike, you know, a mile or 2 miles to see the next person. And so when we were raising our kids, my husband and I was huge into sports. I played all the different sports. And when we were raising our kids and we were both working, my husband actually thought that the older one should stay home and take care of the little one and skip the sports stuff, you know, because he didn't do that kind of thing. And that was probably our first, you know, time that we really butted heads. And I said, no, we have to pay someone to come in and take care of the younger one because the other one has to be in sports. You don't understand. This is a really big deal. And so there was just a money issue right there. And he said, well, we can't afford that. And I said, well, we have to be able to afford it because that's really important to me. And then, so it's just a conversation about, I brought that up because I'm said as you're 2 feet tall and how you were raised, you know, you each independently have wishes, you know, for your children. Also for our clients, Bruce, that have grandchildren, they also have, I would call them core values of what they believe these grandchildren should have, like a full education and who's going to pay for it. And they talk about the struggles that their children are having about how they're going to pay for it exactly. So let's get into the must-have conversations, though. So now let's just say it's a significant other or a couple or whatever. The first one is, where does the money go? And I think when you live day to day, and Bruce, you and I know how fast time is going, but so it's weeks just go by and you might look at each other and go, well, it looks like the checking account is really low. Well, what did you do? Well, what did you do? You know? And so is one person out there spending and is one person out there unnecessarily spending? And the other one doesn't even have time to look. And then all of a sudden it's like a wake up call. And then you start to blame each other.
Yeah. And the key here in the conversation, I think, is not to point a finger of blame, but just, you know, what are the facts? Here's where our money is going. Not to say you're spending money on stuff that we shouldn't be spending money on. Even going back to the point that you made before we jumped into the first discussion point, whether or not to have extracurricular activities or athletics. Now, this is a little bit off the subject, but I think I can tie it together. I also played sports, and I think there's life lessons we learn from athletics that are very important. It's not just about what you learn in the classroom, but extracurricular activities, whether it's music, whether it's plays, whether it's Future Farmers of America. And for you and me, both of us, it was sports. I think I developed some skills and some things that helped me in life because of sports. So in your case, you not only had this cost of we need to get a babysitter, but I'm guessing, correct me if I'm wrong, there was fees associated with these sports. See, when you and I played, it was free. That was part of going to school. You played sports. Nowadays, there's an activity fee for extracurricular activities. And had my parents had a $300 or $400 activity fee for me to play football and basketball and track, I probably wouldn't have done it. And I wouldn't, I don't think, be the same person that I am today. So where does our money go? It, you know, to an activity fee for our kids, to a babysitter so our oldest kid doesn't have to watch the youngest kid. And is that a good use of our resources or not? You have to have that discussion. I think it is. You think it is. Maybe Mike didn't at first and you had to convince him that this was a good idea.
Which I normally would. But so let's talk about spending though, because this is a question when people come to talk to us about even when they want to retire. And I said, well, what do you spend? And a lot of them look at me and say, they don't really know because the paychecks are just coming in. And I said, okay, let's start by taking your net pay that you get and it deposits into the checking account. And then can you tell me where that goes? Like, let's start with your fixed expenses. If you have a mortgage, so I kind of walk them through it. But I believe that everyone should keep some kind of a detailed track of what they're spending their money on. Otherwise, you are going to have a day where you look at each other and go, where has the last decades gone and we don't have enough money saved? Though I've always used some kind of a tool, Bruce, because I'm kind of a detailed nut about where all the money went. And I used Quicken. And then Quicken has a new software today, which is so much easier to use, called Mint.com. There's several of them out there, though. I've got questions from clients, though, when I talk about this and how I keep track, because they're concerned about the security, because all of my accounts download instantaneously from any resource in the values, you know, every day, the time of day. And then each one independently has a password. So I believe it's secure, but we recently just had the Equifax thing that happened you know, weeks ago. Yeah. And so I can't say, I say never, but you want to change your passwords often, et cetera, et cetera. But it's a method of how do you keep track of what you're spending? And then we categorize it as to what it is. And then we sit down, well, we sit down probably more so now when, now that we're, it's just us instead of the kids running around, just to say, you know, how are we? Are we on track? Are we saving enough? What are we spending on vacations? Things like that. It's more of a conversation and wanting to be more aware than we've ever had before.
If you're just joining us, Peg and I are talking about five must-have money conversations. And the first one is, where does our money go? What do you got for number two?
Number two is, did we have a plan for any existing debt? So do we know where our debt, you know, how much we have? Do we actually want to be debt-free one day? Do we want to take more money out of our budget to, you know, pay down debt? We often get this question of, should I be debt-free when I retire? And I would say the answer is it depends, but it's a conversation that has to be had because what I've witnessed is clients still have a mortgage, but deep down, one of the two was so hoping that they would have that paid off by the time that they both retire. And it's a conversation that has to be had because there's some disappointment about the fact if you didn't meet that goal. One of them saying, well, now we're working longer because we never did focus on that goal about getting the house paid off or some other miscellaneous debt. And it creates friction between the couple. So once again, it's about the communication, the conversation.
Yeah. And again, if you're only looking at this purely economically, and I don't. Again, I think you and I agree we are the type of financial advisors that we try to put, you know, walk in our client's shoes, put ourselves in their place. So emotionally, some people are just more debt adverse than others. And I get that. And I would never tell anyone that says, look, I really want to pay off my mortgage. I would never say, oh, no, that's not a good idea. Don't pay off your mortgage. But the economics, there is some debt that isn't bad, and there's some debt that's really bad. A mortgage where the interest rate is low, and you might still be deducting if you itemize your deduction, your deductions, you might still be deducting that interest payment, and the interest rate is low. That's cheap money. That's not bad debt. But if you have department store card or credit card debt at a much higher interest rate and it's not deductible, that's debt I think that we all could agree we need to eliminate. So, but again, you have to have the conversation because one partner might say, look, I don't mind the mortgage. It's at 3% and we're still deducting the interest. Why would I be in a hurry to pay that off? And the other partner says, oh gosh, I would just sleep so much better at night if the house was paid off. Can't we pay off the house? And you have to be sensitive to that, both the partner and us as the financial financial advisor has to be sensitive to those issues.
Right. And who doesn't want to have a pay off your home party? You know? So the third one is, what other expenses do we need to consider down the road? Well, last week we actually talked a lot about the what ifs in life and maybe having an emergency fund, but things like your longer term financial goals. So, you know, you might want to help with your grandchild's education. And that's something you definitely have to talk about, because sometimes, Bruce, it's one of the there's a lot of second marriages out there. And so with the second marriages, I find that the one wants to really help the grandchild with education, but it's technically not the other one's child. And so this whole co-mingling of assets and what's going to happen if one of them passes away, it's things like that you have to talk about. Vacations, healthcare costs, you know, just having a upfront conversation about, you know, what are some of those, and I call them torpedoes, that could hit you down the road that you want to make sure that you're prepared for.
You know, a lot of people don't like to, you know, save and invest for something that might happen down the road because they want to live for today.
Right.
And one of the ways I help clients overcome this is, again, I tie these savings and investments to their core values. So the story I've told on the show before, but it bears repeating, I still have this client, but several years ago, a long-term client that I had reviews with every 6 months. At every review meeting, was very obvious to me that their top priority was their kids' education. We talked about it at every meeting. So I get a phone call one day, and the guy's getting a big promotion and more income, and he wants to know if he can afford to go buy this luxury car. So I said, well, let me call you back. And we ran some numbers, and I called him back. I said, you absolutely can afford this car, but let me ask you a question. Are you sure this is what you want to do? And he said, what do you mean? I've always wanted to drive, I'll leave the name of the car out, but I always wanted to drive this car. And I said, I know you really well. In every review meeting, you talk about, you know, putting away money for your three kids' education. If you get this car and your car payment goes from $400 a month to $800 a month, which is about what it was, are you going to feel any sense of guilt or remorse about not dumping that extra $400 in your kids' college accounts? And there's about a 5-second pause in the phone conversation. He said, you're right, this car can wait. Core values, if you understand why you're saving and investing for something down the road, it gets a lot easier to stay motivated to make that investment if you know what's really important to you.
Well, it does, Bruce, because I think, too, even for me, and I talked about this on the radio before, I wanted to be independently financially okay by the time I hit 55, because when I was driving to work, do you remember this? I would see people at the end of their road, and they would be selling flowers or vegetables at the end of the road, and it just looked so peaceful. And here I'm driving to work to get into all this traffic and all of that. And I just said, every day when I would see that, I went, I need to save so that I have a choice sooner than later. If, you know, I don't know if I'll enjoy my job, I won't enjoy my job, but to me, that was a core value. That's something that was important to me, to be financially independent, to make that decision. So the next one is, are we prepared for the unexpected? I kind of threw some of the things in for expenses that you may not know down the road, but you've got medical emergencies, you've got maybe a job loss or sudden death, something happens. You know,
these are the things we talked about last week, actually.
We did. Have proper insurance, because if something catastrophic happens, that you need some cash on hand. I would say, Bruce, that as people get older, and tell me if you witness this, because we live through our clients' lives, as people get older, there seems to be this this urgency to be able to do their bucket list sooner than later. So everybody kind of has this bucket list of things they want to do. And I just see that there's kind of this urgency of, well, we've got to do this now. The couples will be sitting in front of me and saying, well, we have to do this because, you know, life is short. And they always name someone that something happened to them at
yes.
a younger age.
Yes.
And now they're saying, well, now we've got to get our list. We got to get this done. So we deal with that all the time. And people start to get some anxiety about, you know, mortality and how long they're going to live, and wanting to make sure that they get to do all the things they want to do.
Yeah, none of us is promised tomorrow, and I hear that and see that from clients, and I'm starting to realize that in my own life as I get older. Okay, the last one is probably the biggest one.
Well, this is huge. Are our retirement plans on track? So I find over and over, Bruce, number one, people don't know where they're spending and where their money is going. And then number two, they don't necessarily even have a retirement goal. They have kind of a vague one like, well, 62 or 66, and it might not be a conversation that they've even had with each other. You know, the other thing I'm finding is that one wants to retire before the other. That doesn't always go over very well.
So
they're like, well, why you? Well, why, you know, why me? So, but to talk about what are your retirement goals? Are you on track? And then what I find is when I do these financial forecasts for people and show them that they are on track, but then we measure each year if they're still on track, it gets people much more motivated to continue with that financial plan, and they have these targets that they're trying to hit, and they tend not to misuse the money or the extra cash flow that they have coming in because they have a written plan.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And again, we've talked about the stats of how many people have not planned for retirement, aren't saving for retirement. And I don't know if they think, you know, a magic fairy is just going to come in at age 60 or 65 and wave a magic wand or what, but you've got to put away some money for yourself, and you can't expect anybody else to do this. I've given the example before. I think I gave it last week. A lot of people think they're going to live on Social Security. Social Security was never designed to be your sole source of retirement income. It is expected that you will do some things yourself. And so that's a great conversation to have. Are we doing what we should be doing? Should we make adjustments? Should we make adaptations? Should we, you know, there's a lot of things that go along with that.
Well, I like too, Bruce, that we actually are a third party person for these couples, because they come to us, they describe what's going on, and then we coach them and say, well, if I were in your shoes, this is what I would do.
I referee a lot.
Actually, we do.
I do, yeah.
And so being this objective third party, also giving conviction if things are going well and things aren't going well, and help them make those big decisions.
All right. We'll maybe hit a couple more points when we come back from the break. We'll get you, the listener, involved after the break. But Denny, yep. I think we're time for a break.
It is indeed. And we're going to be back with more of your money. But in the meantime, here's our phone number. You can use this 24/7, 888-6-ADVICE. That translates to 888-623-8423. We'll pick up on your email questions as well. If you have any, send them to yourmoney@wealthenhancement.com. After the break, we hope you stay with us for more of Your Money.